BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Another one?
Lick me, I'm delicious.
No way.
The one?
For the fat fingers.
It's still good.
Easy. Radio.
One, two,
let's go.
Scott Mills.
Let me just say,
I look like an out-of-work magician. Drums, please.
3, 2.
Radio 1.
Go!
Welcome, it's Scott and Chris in for Greg this week. We relive some of Chris's earlier life on 24 Years at the Tap End. Also, have you overdone it in your own house in self-isolation? Another of life's extraordinary individuals grilled on Ask Me Anything. And can more of our listeners hit that really high Mariah Carey note? You're about to find out. Enjoy. One of the best stories from yesterday, lol that Alicia Dixon had to defend herself about sunbathing in a park. She put a photo up. Massive, like, big grass area, beautiful blue skies, sunshine. Looked like a massive park. Actually, just her massive back garden.
Like, imagine, the thing is, right, you've got to come out and say it's not a park, it's a garden.
Sorry, guys.
Wow.
I've done so well for myself. I'm not sunbathing in a park. That's actually my garden. Okay, so we're not doing yesterday's quiz at the moment because yesterday and today, let's go back to better days. So we're doing the better days quiz. Chris, today you've picked the date that we're going to for the quiz.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about this. We're going to go back to the 12th of May, 2013. Very, very special time for me, Scott. So Watford had got through to the semi-final of... basically, had got through to the playoff semi-final. And there was one of the... This was when they were in the Championship, which probably, you know, isn't what I would describe as better times. But, however, this game was incredible. It was a game that flipped right at the end. You'll remember, Scott, that I was partying for about 2 weeks after this. This was also round about the same time. Do you remember I went on that holiday that I bought for 20 quid?
Oh, yeah.
And you made it sound like I was going to have the worst time ever, put the fear into me. I think you even got rogue traders involved, if I remember right.
I did, yeah.
And mocked up news reports and things like that. You really went for me on that one.
Yeah, it was kind of like I mocked up some news reports of you being like on the front line, like a war reporter. But actually, the holiday was all right.
It was amazing.
£20.
So, yeah, listen, Leicester fans, they've got enough to have cheered about since then and went on to incredible things. But, however, that game was so special. And as a football fan, I just thought, I was given the choice about where we'd go back to, and I thought we'd go back to there today.
Was this the time, remind me, when I really wanted to show support for you and your team?
That's right. So... plot spoiler, we won that semi-final and then got through to the final, and it was one of the most disappointing games ever.
And I went
However,
to see it with you.
That's right, because we were doing Radio 1 and they wouldn't let me take the time off to go to the final, we ended up watching it in a pub just around the corner from Radio 1. And I ended up watching the playoff final with Scott Mills.
I like that you got that dig in, because they wouldn't let me have time off for the final.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, so we're going back to a time when things were good. We're not doing yesterday's quiz, we're doing better days quiz. How does this make you feel, Chris Stark?
It's knockout, who won it, scores it. Leicester City go to Wembley, and it's the end for Watford.
Oh.
Knockout takes, Almunia saves, knockout follows in, Almunia saves again. Absolutely astonishing. Now here come Watford.
Wow, it makes me tingle. Like, honestly, that was... Oh, what a moment that was. 2013.
So, the 12th of May, 2013, it's the day that Watford beat Leicester in the Championship playoff semi-final with a last-minute goal. Playing this week is the team Key Workers Plus One. Yesterday, we spoke to Lydia. This morning, we're speaking to Harriet. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, morning. You are a school teacher, a primary school teacher in Chester. So, are you going in at the moment, or are you on a rota, or what?
Yeah, shout out to Team Grange. We are on a rota. So, I'm not in today, but I'm in later on this week.
Okay, and you are teaching the kids of Key Workers, are you?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so tell me a bit about this time when you went to see Beyonce and lost your teeth.
Oh, man. 3.5 years on, I'm just about over the trauma. But just picture the scene, there at Wembley with my friend, goal of a lifetime to go and see Beyonce. It was amazing. Best night of my life.
Mm-hmm.
We were leaving, got caught up in the, you know, the adrenaline rush, the endorphins, and in the crowds, I just wanted to get to the tube and get home. And I spotted this empty space in the on the path, and I thought, why is no one going that way? I'm going to go that way. Turns out there was a bench there, and I thought, no big deal, I can jump over that. Jumped over it, and yeah, said goodbye to my entire set of front teeth.
The whole lot.
Oh.
The whole lot.
That's one of my favourite. One of my favourite things about going to gigs like that and concerts is the bit after the concert where everyone comes out full of confidence and everyone thinks that they are the pop star or band that they've just gone to see. And if you've gone to see someone a bit rowdy, everyone's a bit rowdy.
Yeah.
If you go see Beyonce, everyone thinks they're Beyonce. It's a wonderful sight when you see thousands of people leaving an arena, all thinking that they're Beyonce.
Yeah, I was so confident.
I have not mentioned this yet, but can I let you both into a secret?
Yeah.
Okay,
so the night before last, I was crunching away on some popcorn. And Chris, you know my teeth at the front?
Mm.
Not real. There's three ones that aren't real. Chowing down the popcorn, one of them comes out. Now, you try and get to a dentist right now.
This is incredible. Now, Scott, I forgot to mention this yesterday, but I got a text from someone that we work with at Radio 1 who says, look, I'm not sure whether I should bring this up, but when we were doing the chart show last week, I'm fairly convinced that Scott Mills lost his tooth during the show. And it was reported to me that you were
wobbly.
On your hands and knees trying to find your tooth that had fallen out mid-chart.
It was wobbly then, but then chow down to some popcorn, it's gone. So you are listening to a toothless Radio 1 DJ right now. We're probably
incredible.
Up to a few months of not being able to get that replaced. So, hi. However, I have got some white beads, which I ordered on the internet from France, which you put in hot water. Looks just like a real tooth. And I'll be trying that tonight on Instagram if you'd like to see
real.
It.
Real.
What? Yeah, you just put them in water for a bit and then you just put it in. DIY dentistry. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just what you've got to do at the moment. I can't get to a dentist, can I? So if there's a slight... That's why. There's some air going through my teeth. They're not real. Okay, let's go back to the 12th of May, 2013. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Harriet, good luck. Here is the Better Days quiz. That Watford v Leicester match was played at Vicarage Road, but which of those teams calls it home?
Leicester?
No, forgot to test the dingers, but that's Watford. Which American golfer won the Players' Championship on the 12th of May, 2013?
Tiger Woods.
Yes. Justin Bieber appeared as himself in which animated TV show that aired in the US that night?
The Simpsons.
Yes. Which London-based TV show won Best Reality Show at the BAFTAs?
Reality Show? Made in Chelsea?
Yes. May 12th, 2013 was a Sunday. Spell Sunday.
S-U-N-D-A-Y.
Kanye West was spotted filming a cameo for the sequel to which comedy featuring Ron Burgundy?
Anchorman.
Which parental celebratory day was it in the US on this day?
Mother's Day?
Yes, name the Daft Punk and Pharrell song that was number one in the UK that day.
Get Lucky.
Which member of the royal family was spotted taking part in a human pyramid while on a US military tour?
Harry?
Yes. What was the final score of the Watford-Leicester match on that day?
3-2.
3-1. Which singer, named after a colour, had the third biggest selling single so far in 2013? Would Just Give Me a Reason?
Pink.
Yes! Okay, your 90 seconds is up.
That's amazing. Slow start, but actually scored quite well at the end. You scored 9.
Oh, yes.
That's
I'm pretty
incredible.
Proud of that.
So, 9, which is better than Lydia's 5 yesterday. Well done. Who are we speaking to tomorrow?
I believe it's Jessie.
Jessie tomorrow from the Key Workers Plus One. You have a lovely day, OK?
Oh, thank you so much. You too.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Yesterday, we were talking about people really trying very hard on TikTok, and there's a lot of bad ones out there. So Lancashire and England women's cricketer Alex Hartley put a TikTok up. She basically had an old song lying about, which is called Emotions by Mariah Carey. She obviously heard that and thought, I'm going to go for the really, really high note. So here's the original song, OK? So this is Emotions by Mariah Carey. It's really old. Like one of her first songs, I think. Here she goes.
Whoa.
Show off. Anyway, then Alex jumped on TikTok and gave it a go. then Chris Stark had a go. We've been asking if you guys were up to this challenge. Suzanne and Carlisle, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you reckon you'd give this a good go, don't you?
Oh, definitely, yeah, without a doubt.
But it's so high. It's so high, this note you've got to get.
Yeah, I know it's high. It is maybe a little bit too high for me because I've been compared in the past to have the tone of Adele, maybe a bit of Amy Winehouse. So it might be a teeny bit high for me, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Hang on, I'm getting the feeling that you're a proper singer.
Yeah, well, it has been known that I've performed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So set the scene for me, Suzanne. Where are you right now?
I am right now parked in a very large recycling and waste disposal plant because I'm a transport administrator for the company. Can I say the company name?
Sure, Jan.
Why not? So,
Cumbria Waste Recycling, the best recycling company in the whole of Cumbria.
For all of your recycling needs. Yeah.
Yes, just dropped my son at work, and so I am parked next to about 8 cars. There are about 10 large wagons parked directly behind me. There's quite a few tractors. There's a lot of people milling around, all in bright orange protective PPE wear. And so, yeah, this should be interesting.
Okay, well, I'm pleased that you've been brave enough to call us and give this a try, okay? So,
yes.
Alex Hartley put this on TikTok. I can't reach that high note. I tried it yesterday. No. I think only Mariah Carey can, until now, Suzanne and
Carlisle.
There's
not a lot of people can.
No, it's ridiculous.
Not a lot of people can, yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna cue you in. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay.
Out the window with this one, I reckon.
Out
let's
the window.
Go. Let's go. As, let's yeah. do this in one as loud as you can.
Okay, okay.
I also think that all the high vises around you and all the wagons will really appreciate this. Some of them are probably asleep in their cab.
You might actually get a horn or two.
Yes, so that's what I want.
In the background.
You okay, you ready?
Okay.
Good luck. Brace yourself. Here we go.
It's just screaming.
That sounded really good to me.
Oh, what a game.
From where I was, that was that was pretty good.
Same.
Did it sound good though to you? Because
yeah.
in my ears,
yeah,
it
yeah,
sounds
the same.
Yeah.
The
babe,
same.
I've got a lovely tone.
Don't overthink your performance. You were great.
No.
I thought she was going to be good.
Thanks, Mariah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I know that Greg likes to bring you up to date with all the latest things because a lot can happen when you're having a little snooze. So here's stuff you might have missed. Earlier, Adele on Early Breakfast mentioned this clip of Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Are you aware of Jacinda Ardern, Chris?
Yeah, I saw a video of her basically showing everyone how to kind of wash hands and keep distance and that kind of thing. And I just thought it was so measured and, you know, not scary or patronising or anything like that. She just got a really nice manner.
And when they had that awful terrorist attack in Christchurch, where I've got some family that live there, and she was just incredible. Like, New Zealanders absolutely love her, and with good reason. She's the best. Anyway, kids.
You don't hear that enough, do you, by the way? You don't, like, and for obvious reasons at the moment, but, you know, politicians do get a hard time and are held to the highest account. But, you know, there are some amazing politicians out there doing amazing things at the moment.
And she's quite young and she's just really relatable, and New Zealanders absolutely love her. Like, she is loved. Anyway, kids in the country are concerned that the Easter Bunny won't turn up this weekend in New Zealand because of the coronavirus. But Jacinda, as always, had some reassuring words.
You'll be pleased to know that we do consider both the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny to be essential workers. But as you can imagine at this time, of course, they're going to be potentially quite busy at home with their family as well and their own bunnies. And so I say to the children of New Zealand, if the Easter Bunny doesn't make it to your household, then we have to understand that it's a bit difficult at the moment for the bunny to perhaps get everywhere.
I love her.
That's good to hear, though.
It is good to know they're key workers. Elsewhere, there were some really weird bits of TV yesterday. Harry Redknapp was on the One Show last night, and I think the self-ISO might be getting to Harry because he forgot where he lived.
Joining us from his home in Essex is former football manager Harry Redknapp. Oh, evening,
hey,
Harry.
How are you?
Hiya, Harry.
I'm not in Essex, I'm in Hampshire where I live.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
No problem.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up, Harry.
Well, actually, it's Dorset. I don't even know where I live.
It's all right, Harry. Some of us are struggling to know even what day we're on.
Isolation's out to you, Harry. You're in Hampshire. That's all right.
Doesn't know where he lives.
I love him.
Classic this morning. Shania Twain was on yesterday.
Hi this morning. Hi, UK. I know you guys are all trying to keep your spirits up over there, and I'd love to be a part of that and bring some cheer. So I would love to share some music that I recorded in my backyard the other day with my little audience of my dog Melody and my horse Mimi.
So then she performs Man, I Feel Like a Woman with her horse Mimi in her face.
Men shirt, short skirts, oh, 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 really go out, yeah, doing it in style.
We're in strange times, everybody. Shania Twain there, live on British TV, singing to a horse in her backyard.
Scott Mills.
All right, so normally in the afternoon, we get one of life's quirkier people on, and we just ask them questions. It's called Ask Me Anything. Normally, they can have an unusual or quirky or weird job, or maybe that they're a champion or expert in their field, or they have a ridiculous claim to fame. We've spoken to some incredible people, haven't we, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've spoken to all sorts. From the lady that invented Jenga to someone that's a professional horse willy washer a professional FIFA player, all sorts.
All the greats. Thing is, they don't tell us who we're getting put through to before they put them through. So let's do Tuesday's Ask Me Anything. Hello, caller. Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Victoria Hoban. I run Goga, which is goat yoga. Ask me anything.
And I will ask you anything. So is this yoga that humans can do while goats watch or what?
Yeah, they don't exactly watch. They get involved. So they will sort of walk around, and when you're in like lying down poses, they might hop over you. And you interact with the goats while doing yoga.
I don't understand. This is so weird. So the goats aren't doing yoga themselves, but people are doing yoga and the goats just happen to be around.
Yeah, so we bring them along. We run it like in a fitness studio. So they all come in and they're pottering around their yoga mats, and then the calves come in. We do about 40, 45 minutes of a yoga instructor and doing the yoga. And then the last 15 minutes is like cuddle time with the goats.
Okay, can I just ask, what's the benefit of the goats being there?
So there's all sorts of benefits. Goats are pretty hilarious, so they definitely make you smile. And then they, in the past, have been used to like calm racehorses and stuff like that. So they have sort of an energy about them, which is quite calming and relaxing and fun.
What do they do?
What do they do? They walk around you, so through your arms, and like you're doing poses, and they get in your face, and they love fuss and cuddles. So
this doesn't make any sense, though. This is like saying homosexual yoga is for people that are doing yoga, but some homosexuals are just kind of wandering around whilst you do it. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I've been to one of those.
I don't think the people or the homosexuals would enjoy it, whereas I think the people and the goats enjoy it.
Homosexual yoga.
But do you know what I mean, Scott?
But you're selling this as goat's yoga, but actually there's just goats there.
Yes.
Yeah, but how else would you put that? Yoga with some goats there. It doesn't have a ring to it, does
right.
it?
You're so weird. Was this your idea?
Well, funny you should say that. Americans are weird.
It went
crazy in America. I got tagged in a Facebook video, and my goats are therapy animals, so they interact with people anyway.
Yeah.
So we started it, and we've been doing it for 3 years.
I can see, though, like, people have, like, dogs for therapy and that, where you can go and cuddle dogs, can't you? So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and each goat has a personality a bit like a dog. They're just not quite as well trained.
Right. I'm not being funny, but when we are allowed out, this might be one of the first things I'm going to try.
Yeah, we'll come up to you.
Where is it? What, you'll bring the goats?
We're in Southampton.
Oh, yes.
Of course you are.
Right, so
just
I...
just come home, visit the family and come do it.
Yeah, I could, like, work in a trip with Mother Sandra and then come to the goat yoga after, maybe bring her along.
Bring her along.
Oh. Hang on, did you see about that town? Everyone's been talking about it. It's been overran by goats. So the goats have come down from the hills because no one's in this town. It's in Wales, isn't it, Scott?
I think, London, though, yeah.
Probably.
That's it. And so the goats have just appeared down from the mountains, I think it is, because there's no one around, they've come to reclaim the town.
Probably visiting the pub and doing all sorts.
Well, they are. They're running budgeons. This has really inspired me to find out more about the goats of Llandudno, and let me tell you, they are running that town right now.
Can we get one of them on the show, potentially? Can we make this a challenge? It probably is a challenge at that. It'd be great to be able to get one of the goats on.
If anyone's seen the documentary on Netflix, Wild Wild Country, that's what's happening in Llandudno right now. Like, the Rajneeshi goats have taken over, and there's the Bhagwan right there, like, in the middle of the town centre.
Yeah, totally.
Right, okay, well, when lockdown is relieved, I will be coming to Goga, and I'll bring Sandra.
Amazing.
She won't be able to do it, but she can watch.
She'll enjoy the goats.
Well, she can sit with the goats, and I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. And
perfect.
The goats will be walking around too.
All right, good to speak
have
to you.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right. Scott Mills. So we're going back to 24 years at the Tap End. We used to do stories from Chris's life and made them into an imaginary book called 24 Years at the Tap End, because he used to sit at the wrong end of the bath before realising for 24 years. Where are we heading today, Chris?
Okay, so we're going back to a time where I went on a bit of a fishing trip and then a bit of a day out. And I think I was having a weird week this week. Here we go, 24 years at the Tap End.
Was this the one slightly after a breakup?
I can't remember. Yes, I think it was. Basically, I had a week's holiday, decided to use it doing activities. It was like a mid life crisis.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did 24 years at the Tap End. At the Tap End. Scott's show was all going well at the new time. We had been working hard on it, and it had got to the stage where I decided to use up a bit of my holiday. My original thinking was to go away, ideally somewhere hot and by the sea. But like most things, I left organising to the last minute, so I decided to do a week of activities closer to home. I didn't want to just spend the week in bed, so I set about making a plan to do some interesting stuff. Take a look around an art gallery, maybe do a skydive, learn how to fish, and try every burger I've never eaten on the Mackie D's menu. On paper, it looked set to be an incredible week.
If you hadn't have made these plans, would you have just stayed in bed all week?
I think so. I think that and playing FIFA, that kind of thing would have been the obvious week off for me. I had found a man on the internet who was willing to meet me at short notice.
Sorry, which activity is this for?
He was a fishing instructor. And judging by the pictures on his website, he was very much the real deal. There were various...
How do you know? There's loads of men on the internet with big rods.
Well, yeah, but this guy, he had everything. He had the beard, he had... You know that you can... I wanted a real genuine Ray Mears-type character to teach me to fish. I didn't want some young city boy or something who does it as a hobby.
If he's dressed up like a fisherman, he's a fisherman. What about those women on the internet that dress up like nurses? Would you trust them if you had a medical emergency?
No, but that's very different, isn't it?
Is
it? You can date them now, can't you? There's a site for that.
There is, yes. I find that service odd because the advert says it's for men and women in uniform and those who just fancy people in uniform.
Yes.
So if you don't even have to have a uniform to be part of it, it's hardly...
It's just a dating site.
For anyone.
And on that site, do they have fishermen as one of the uniforms?
I don't... Does that count as a uniform? I don't know.
Is that where you found him?
No, I didn't find... No, I did not.
Sorry,
that
I meant
was
to
not
click.
An advert on that site.
Fireman.
No. There were various pics of him in all the gear, holding up some impressively sized trout. We had been exchanging emails, and the day had come to meet him. He instructed me to meet him in a car park near Legoland early in the morning at around 6 a.m. And as I sat in my car, I wasn't sure what the sign was going to be so that we knew each other were there. It was a similar feeling to when you're on a first date, but without any intentions.
Hang on a second, this is this year, yeah?
Yeah.
Did either of you have phones?
Yes, we did, but it's that awkward thing that there was going to be a lot of cars coming in. I couldn't just call every time I saw a car, could I?
And when you go on first dates, do you often meet them in a car park near Legoland?
No, good point. On a technicality, it wasn't like any first date.
And you've seen a picture of him on the internet.
And I didn't have any ulterior motives.
Unless he's one of those that has a different profile picture to when he turns up.
I like it that you've admitted to having ulterior motives on first dates.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, for all you go on a first date, you... Like, for all you're doing a pleasant activity or meeting up for food, in the back of your head... It is a date, and you are hoping it will go somewhere, right? That's an ulterior motive. You're not genuinely there for the food.
I love this as a real insight into how your mind works. I really like it.
There were three cars in the car park, and whilst I was sitting there, a couple more came in. Every time I tried to peer through the windscreen to see if I could recognise the fisherman. However, it was quite dark and the headlights obscured my vision. I wasn't sure how to play this one, and was about to leave the car to go have a look around when a car pulled in and parked up. No one left the car. I thought that maybe they were waiting for a sign. He was probably thinking the same with me, and a standoff had begun. I decided to take the initiative and flash my lights 4 or 5 times.
In a car park near Legoland?
It seemed to work. A man opened the door, reached into the back seat and emerged. With his tackle and rod in hand, he stared at me as he walked towards and then past my car. He looked confused. It quickly became apparent that he wasn't my fishing instructor. I'd been flashing at a stranger. Luckily, at that point, a man knocked on my car window. It was Alan, the man I'd been waiting for. He was a good bloke, a proper expert, and the fishing lesson was brilliant. It was a 3-hour chill, learning the basics of fishing. Apart from the earlier car park incident, it had been a strong morning on my first day off.
What did you and Alan talk about?
It's very difficult to think that you're going to spend 3 hours with a total stranger and get on, but I did genuinely get on with him. I looked up to him. He was everything that I wanted to be. He had great natural sort of survival skills. You know, he knew about fishing. He looked like the kind of person who could handle himself in the wild.
Is that what you want to be?
And where were you fishing?
It was at a lake near Legoland.
Or, as we have now referred to it, the wild.
There was a really good cafe there, I remember as well. I had like a really good bacon sandwich in there after. I mean, really good. It's rare when a bacon sandwich can really, like, you know, it's a sort of standard food, but that was...
Especially if you've been in the wild for a few hours, that's quite...
That was something else, that was.
After you've braved the elements for that long. Scott
Mills. For that afternoon's activity, I decided to do a tour of the war cabinet rooms in London. These are the actual rooms a large part of World War II was coordinated from. I've always been into my history, and this was an activity for me that ticked all the boxes. It was basically like going to a museum, and the last time I had done that was when I was at school. It felt weird not having a teacher around me to tell me off, or having the freedom to eat whatever I wanted rather than being forced to into a packed lunch situation. The tour of the cabinet rooms was great. It was incredible to be in a place that only 70 years ago was one of the most secret and important parts of the war effort. The corridors and rooms were quite small, and there was a musty old smell that I guess you could expect from such an old building. There was quite a lot of people on the tour, and everyone walked around at roughly the same speed to avoid congestion and blockages in the tight corridors. I was behind a party of German tourists, and as I entered a room called the Maps Room, I was told that this was one of the most important rooms in the war effort, and was enjoying a talk when the tour guide stuttered slightly and sort of tensed his nose. I couldn't work out what was wrong.
How do you do that?
I don't know. What is a tense nose?
I couldn't work out how to write this in the book. It was...
Do the face.
He sort of sniffed. It was like...
What, like slightly disapproving look?
Yeah. Like he just... Like something had just entered his nose in a sort of unpleasant way.
Don't want that in the map rooms, do you?
I couldn't work out what was wrong with him until it hit me. Someone had farted. It was a nasty one, and it was clear to me that it had been produced by one of the German tourists. It was uncomfortable for everyone involved, but it did make me think. Who would have thought 70 years later there would be Germans farting in the maps room?
I wonder if Churchill all those years ago was, you know, in there organising, fighting them on the beaches. Mm. And I doubt it crossed his mind that in 70 years, a German would be in there letting one go.
No, and that's what I thought as well. It sort of made me smile a little bit. It was a strange moment. And despite the smell, made me smile. I wasn't offended. I just found it a bit funny.
How did you know it was one of the Germans?
I think it was.
What did it smell of?
Because you can always tell who it is. Because everyone
can
in that
you?
Room... Yeah, because
but
everyone...
You can tell someone's nationality by how their farts
Well, no, because I was giggling a little bit, right? But you know who it was because they were really straight-laced. They kept a straight face throughout. And I'm talking, this was a bad one. And no, none of them were, like, laughing. It was, like, a very serious thing for them. And bless the tour guide, he carried on. It had been a great day off, though. A mixture of a chill and an education. I had learnt the basics of fishing and learned a lot about Winston Churchill. It had been a great start to my week off, which would later see me get up to loads of stuff. It was a week of trying new things. I did bail on the skydive, though. I bottled it. Something to this day I still regret.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So yesterday morning we were chatting about Australian MPs just not being able to take anything seriously. One was talking about a guy who was stopped for eating a kebab while on a run during lockdown in Australia. And this guy, Mark McGowan. So this is from their press conference. So it's the equivalent of our coronavirus press conference. And it's the Premier of Western Australia. Listen how he loses it when talking about the guy who was stopped for going for a run and then eating a kebab.
There's nothing wrong with going for a run. There's nothing wrong with going for a run and having a kebab. I don't think there's anything wrong. We're not making it unlawful to go for a run and eat a kebab. It's whether or not you're in a group. That is the issue.
They can't do it. Do you remember that time where Johnny Depp got chucked out of the country for bringing his dogs in without the right paperwork?
Yes.
This is Barnaby Joyce, also from the government, guys.
John Christopher Depp, a.k.a. Jack Sparrow, and he has decided to bring into our nation two dogs without actually getting the proper certification and the proper permits required. Basically, it looks like he snuck them in. If we start letting movie stars, even though they've been the sexiest man alive twice, to come into our nation, then why don't we just break the laws for everybody? Pistol and
why would you
back to the United States. And why after that, I don't expect to be invited to the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, you won't be.
Why would you say AKA Jack Sparrow? Jack Sparrow. As if like Jack Sparrow's the one that's in trouble. I love that guy so much.
These are really important people. And I mean, Australians are just lol. Here's another example from Megan. Good morning, Megan.
Morning.
Where are you today?
I'm in Oxted in Surrey.
Okay, are you working from home?
No, I'm looking after 6-year-old twin boys of mine.
Okay, yeah, that's enough
more
work.
More than work, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
In our new series, Australians Are LOL, what have you got for me?
So I think it's from quite a few years ago, but it's a hiccuping newsreader, and she's trying her best to like keep going through the like bulletin, and she's not even acknowledging it. She's just powering through with the hiccups.
I've only think only ever had hiccups on air once, and it was really stressful.
But also, what can you do if you're doing the news and it's so serious as well? There's no, you can't just stop, can you?
Well, yeah.
It's worse. Like at least we can fire a song in if it gets really bad here. But once you start there, you can't stop. You just got to roll with the hiccups.
She really did. She was a pro.
So this is a clip from, as you said, quite a long time ago when we had other things to worry about. So don't worry about the content of what she's saying, but just listen to how much this girl is struggling here. Love her.
Good morning, I'm Kate Wilson. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has urged his supporters not to believe the lies he says are being told about what's happening in their country. Gaddafi was speaking in front of supporters at a ceremony to mark 34 years of his country's people power style of government. The founder of a men's club known as the Brotherhood says he's just an honest former policeman turned businessman. Police Chief Simon Overland says he's deeply concerned about the group's activities. John Moncrief says he has nothing to hide and welcomes the Ombudsman's investigation.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, let's talk about this because I think a lot of people will relate. Obviously, you can't go out at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can stay in and you can get on a house party with your mates or your family, or you can have like a quiz night. Like Daisy on the show's doing a hip hop quiz on Friday night on Zoom. Like one of these apps, you'll be connecting with your friends and family, which is what we all need to do right now. I'm FaceTiming my mum more than I ever have before, right?
Well, I'm doing activities on these apps as well with family members, you know, ones that I don't speak to, like quizzes. There's a family quiz once a week. That never happened before.
Never.
But yeah, it's fun to do.
I've never spoken to so many people on my phone ever, I don't think. Ever.
Yeah.
But what I'm also finding is, like maybe when you go out, people are now getting staying in hangovers majorly. Shout out to Josh on the show. He won't mind me saying this, or will he? No, he won't. The other night, just got a little carried away. But in his house, woke up the next morning, absolutely hanging. Like, hanging. He'd just done a Zoom with his mates. That was it.
But,
it was like he'd been out. It's like he'd been out all night. He even did a little
sick. Think about it. But it's like going out, except you haven't got to queue at the bar. So you know, you can go straight to the fridge very quickly, and it's cheaper. So, yeah, you've got to watch yourself, because the hangovers will get you if you're not careful.
Yeah.
A little bit sick. I mean, come on, Josh.
He actually did a little sick and didn't go anywhere apart from his sofa. But other people will be in the situation. There'll be someone now nursing the mother of all hangovers this morning. Didn't go anywhere. What did you do last night? Well, obviously, I stayed in. I'm hanging. Someone I know was really scared of bin day the other day because their bin day is on Thursday, and they've been on the wines. And they were just dreading the crash from all the bottles when the bin men pick up the bins, because they've been going quite hard. And like, he was worried the neighbours would hear it and be like, oh my God. Yeah, that's just my consumption for the week. So let me know, if you've had like a major hangover but you've gone nowhere, let me know. Oh, here we go, already. Andrea, worst hangover of the year so far, and that's including when I could go out. Andrea's in Leeds, went hard on Sunday night, a Sunday as well. Let me know, 81199.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Let's say congratulations to Kelly. I know you wouldn't normally do this, Kelly. It's hard times, but she says, I literally had the worst hangover on Saturday. Friday night consisted of some gin and some wine. I was on house party. Saturday morning, I was curled up in a corner, still had a headache on Sunday. I wouldn't normally do this. I know, like, things are different right now.
You are right, they are different. It's like Steve from Southampton says, he texts us and says, it's the difference between staying in and staying in. I know what you mean.
Host of the quiz on Saturday night, this is Sophie. Some people logged off after, but a hardcore group of us ended up on a sesh till 2 a.m. at home. Worst hangover I've ever had, Sunday total write-off. Didn't go anywhere. This is what's happening.
But that's really bad, Scott. So you think you've logged off. You think everyone else has logged off too. And actually what happens is everyone just goes and has a party without you.
Yeah, well, there was the hardcore ravers at home who were on their sofa till at least two.
Wow.
Hello to Lauren, who had a date. Had a date on Zoom this week. Had to keep muting it to be sick. Wow. You lot are really excelling yourselves at the moment. It's the stress, Chris.
Scott Mills.
Jess is joining the party now. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Scott.
Chris is here too. Are you working from home today?
I am, yeah, working from home today.
Will you be having Radio 1 on all day because we're your friends?
Absolutely.
Good. Okay, whereabouts are you in the country?
I'm in Hull.
Hull?
Hull, yeah.
Okay. Did you let yourself down the other night?
A little bit, yeah.
Was it fun?
It was good fun, yeah, great fun.
True though, what I was saying, Josh on the team experienced this, and by the looks of it, thousands of you did, because we're getting so many messages. It's possible to go out while staying in. What did you do?
Well, I was thinking that I was joining a quiz with my friends, but actually what they were doing was throwing me a surprise engagement party, as got engaged the other week and haven't been able to see them to celebrate. So
oh,
it was
wow.
really lovely.
So you... it was your engagement?
Was it yes, your engagement?
Yeah. Oh, my engagement, and I logged congrats. Into the Zoom room, and they'd all got banners and glasses of Prosecco, and my friend Amy decided that she would wear her mum's wedding dress for the occasion.
Why?
Just to dress up and look nice. So it was really good. But yeah, about... Well, a bit weird, but really, really good fun, and lots of wine, and a bit of a hangover on Monday morning.
Yeah, that's allowed. It's your engagement. That's quite weird, though, if like your friend pops up on the screen in her mum's wedding dress.
Well, if you knew her, it wouldn't be that weird.
Okay, what's her name?
Amy.
Weird Amy.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, well, happy engagement. When will you actually get married when all this is over?
Well, we're hoping next summer, but, you know, playing it by ear and all that.
Okay. All right, you're not alone, believe me. We've got hundreds of messages from people that went nowhere and felt awful the next day.
Makes me feel better.
Scott Mills.
You would have seen so many people being DJs on Facebook, on Instagram Live. We're bringing it to Radio 1 today, and we're starting off strong. Here is Daisy Mae Cooper. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you ever think you'd be a DJ on Radio 1?
Never, ever. My taste in music is very bad, so I warn you.
Don't care. It's you. I messaged you earlier in the week going, do you want to do it? And you were like, oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. I literally, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Actually, even better than having a child.
Even better than that.
Yeah. Don't tell him no, for God's sake.
You see, like in times like this, I'm pleased that I could give you the best day of your life, despite there being a pandemic on.
Absolutely. This really is the best day of my life.
I think what is very special about this, though, is you are on the nation's biggest radio station. You're about to take over for half an hour. It's your tunes. You're in charge. I mean, are you feeling the nerves a little bit here?
I'm completely hysterical.
Also...
Oh, God, I hope this doesn't knock you guys off air, because it's so dreadful.
No, I'm here completely for it. Also, can I just say congratulations, like the last episode of This Country, incredible, and I just saw they added up all the views, it's like 52 million or something ridiculous.
I know, but it's sort of like, I don't quite understand what that means, like put that in context to something else, like say, I don't know, Top Gear gets whatever million, then I'd know that it was good or not.
No, it's good.
Do you know what I mean?
Like the other night, the Queen got 24 million. You got more than the Queen. I mean, once they've added up on demand and that, the Queen probably gets more. But I would take that as a good thing. Curtin and Kerry, double the Queen, as it stands at the moment, anyway.
That is absolutely baffling.
I've got a real problem with the last episode. genuinely can't watch it because I worry it's going to be too emotional and then I'll be sad that it's over. So I've avoided watching the last one for that reason.
Do you know what? I haven't watched the last one because I can't be bothered.
Oh, different reasons.
There's other stuff on telly that I'd rather watch.
Well, okay, right. Daisy May Cooper, Kerry Mucklow is about to take charge of Radio 1. What are we going for?
We are going for PJ and Duncan. Let's get ready to rumble!
Here we go.
Watch us wreck the mic.
Psych. Daisy May Cooper in the mix on BBC Radio 1. Why did you choose PJ and Duncan to start us off?
Because my first ever crush was Duncan from PJ and Duncan. So much so that I actually sobbed because I thought that I would never get to marry him. So my dad actually... I did a really sweet thing and booked tickets to go and see PJ and Duncan live in Cardiff. And we drove all the way there. And it was just, my dad was the only man in just this sea of screaming girls. And because we were running late, we panicked and parked somewhere. And I think we parked illegally because when we came out, dad had this massive parking bill and was absolutely raging. And whenever I would put PJ and Duncan songs on afterwards, he'd say, "Oh, boys cost me 60 quid." So yeah, that's my ode to PJ and Duncan.
And when you see Deck now, how does that make you feel, like now you're a bit grown up?
It makes me think, why didn't you marry me?
Still now,
yeah.
Daisy May, what's next?
We're going for Teak Sunshine.
Why?
Here we go.
Because it reminds me of when I went to Ibiza for my cousin Fee's hen-do with a broken leg. And I had a sort of weird kind of boot thing. And I remember just a group of kind of 18-year-old lads standing around it while I was on the dance floor, pointing at it and laughing at it. Sort of laughed along for a bit, and then I got a bit upset.
Ibiza memories. Teaks, let's go!
Daisy May Cooper's Bog Anthems. Your sunshine, your sunshine, your sunshine shining.
Teaks and Sunshine, Daisy May Cooper is choosing the tunes in the mix on Radio 1 this morning. Okay, from Teaks, where are we going next?
Damage, Ghetto Romance on Radio 1, dropping it harder than Westwood. This is Daisy May Cooper in the mix on Radio 1, from my downstairs box.
Daisy May Cooper's Bog Anthems.
That's right, coming to you from the downstairs toilet.
With me bleach and me reed diffusers.
Damage there with Ghetto Romance. Why that one?
When I was about 18, 19, I auditioned to be a stripper. And I turned up. I didn't realise it was actually two strip. It just said in Stage magazine, exotic dancer, £500 plus a week. So I genuinely thought that was kind of like... I don't know, like cruise ship dancing or something like that. And they said to me, right, what's your stage name? The only name that could come to my head was Louise Redknapp. This is absolute truth. And then they said, what song do you want to play? And I said, Ghetto Romance.
Okay, Daisy May Cooper is in the mix from her downstairs toilet on BBC Radio 1. This is what the people want. What's next?
Okay, boys, my next track is I Took a Pill in Ibiza.
I took a pill in Ibiza to show a Fiji I was cool. And when I finally got sober, felt 10 years older, but I know sad songs.
One! Chosen by Daisy May Cooper in the mix from her downstairs bog on Radio 1, helping us through when we all have to stay in. Like so many other DJs on Instagram Live and Facebook, she's doing this for you now, but on Radio 1. Why did you choose I Took a Pill in Ibiza?
Because it reminds me of Ibiza, and yesterday I tried to recreate Ocean Beach by setting up a paddling pool in my garden. I've got the bubble machine out.
All right, where are we going next?
We're doing Lil' Kim in the Air Tonight.
Why have you chosen this?
Because it's my favourite song in the whole world. And in 2002, I used to wear double denim and wear lots of fake gold chains until my neck actually turned green. And I went to the doctors and he just said, stop wearing cheap jewellery.
You actually turned green. What? So you've rocking up in your doctor in the Cotswolds like, oh, green neck. Stop wearing crap cheap jewellery. Bye, Lil' Kim. Amazing. Right, Lil' Kim's on now.
Daisy May Cooper's Bog Anthems.
Actual Kerry Mucklow in the mix. This country. And that was our first person that we've had this week in the mix. So thank you. And thank you to your downstairs toilet.
Thank you to my downstairs toilet. Yeah. It's looking great, by the way. I've given it a good old go over with the flash.
Did you enjoy your first Radio 1 mix experience?
I loved it. This is a dream come true. You know, I was always meant to be a DJ.
And now you are.
And now I am.
Dana Lincoln says, can we all just follow the rules, please, and get this virus gone? Because Kerry Mucklow is making me so excited for the summer raves. Who knew that Kerry Mucklow on Radio 1 is what I needed this morning, making me laugh so much? Andy in Bristol, that was great, Chris.
Oh, people are loving it as well. Do we get her on every week? I don't know what the plan is from here on in. It feels like she's earned her place at Radio 1.
We can definitely ask. Clara's with you next. Thank you, Daisy May. We're back tomorrow.
Radio 1 Breakfast.
With Scott and Chris.
Back tomorrow morning from 7.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hi. Whoops. Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt.
See you there.
I'm Aoife. And I'm Julia. On our new podcast, we're on a quest to explore the positive power of gaming.
I've had lots of people playing the game with me. It's just that I'm surrounded with lovely, lovely, lovely people and it feels like home.
And unlock the true stories behind it.
Arcade gaming didn't almost help me. It brought me back from a place where there was definitely no return.
This game changed my life. Why not give it a listen on BBC Sounds?